after a great storm. I think of the great flood found here in Genesis, and it always comes to mind. God promised in a covenant that he would never destroy the earth again with water. Following closely, of course, to the biblical story of the flood, you think about a rainbow. I think about the Irish adage about the pot at the end, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Leprechauns are supposed to have hidden the gold there. And of course, who can forget the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow, sung by Judy Garland, the Wizard of Oz. I was going to bring a picture today. A friend of mine a number of years ago worked at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and sent me a beautiful picture of Dorothy and Toto together in an original from 1939, but I didn't want to get it wet today, so sometime I'll show it to everybody. But there's a lot of things that can remind us of what God has promised us. You know, the rainbow will forever be a sign of hope and promise. Have you ever met somebody that didn't have any hope? They are miserable people because they've lost that sense of being. They've lost that sense of existence, literally. God wants us to have hope, and God will provide hope for us and promise as well, since God is the God of promises. If anyone certainly needed a promise, it was Noah. It's difficult to imagine being told by God to build a huge ark, a big boat in the middle of the desert. Probably the local inhabitants were probably ridiculing him when he started building the frame. I mean, you're talking about somebody that was dedicated because he had three sons to help him. We don't know how long it took to build it. But still yet, those people there must have thought, well, he's lost his mind to build something like that, and there's not any body of water nearby. Later, he gathered his family and, you know, two species of every animal, living creature, to enter the sailing vessel. God closed the doors, and then they waited. Now, I don't know about you, if you get claustrophobia, but can you imagine being sealed up in a vessel like that and just waiting, you know? And then all of a sudden, they heard pitter-patter on the roof of their dwelling, of the ark. And, you know, they would have probably scratched their heads and said, well, what's that? See, rain didn't come down like that prior to the flood. It came up out of the ground as like a mist. So I'm sure that Noah, his wife, and his children were probably just dazzled. Said, what is this? And all of a sudden, it came to mind that I don't know if they labeled it rain then, but they knew it was something liquid, and it was coming down, probably pretty heavy there. And it didn't let up, and it didn't cease for 40 days. I always like to consider this Old Testament to be a story, adage, to be an equivalent of the Christian Lenten season of 40 days. It lasted that long. When Noah came out of the ark, there was sunshine and blue skies. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Resurrection Sunday, for those early Christians, there was sunshine and blue skies, but in a different dimension. A new creation had occurred with both Noah and the resurrection. And so God had said at the end of the first creation, this is very good. In so many words, Christ's resurrection also announced, this is very good. With the second creation, God would not be disappointed, but be victorious with the outcome, because victory is assured for eternity. You know, the a lot of times we have had experiences throughout our lives, maybe with floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, or whatever. And I'm always reminded of a story about this man. He died in a flood, and he went to heaven, and St. Peter greeted him. And St. Peter says, oh, by the way, there's a gathering tonight of new members coming into heaven. He says, we'd like for you to be the guest speaker this evening. Well, and said you can do whatever you want to break the ice on any subject you desire. So every resident has their own picks and choices about that. So the recent Heavenly Citizen said, well, I think I'll speak on something that happened to me recently. I'm going to speak on the Great Mississippi Flood of 1927. And St. Peter replied, oh, I think that would be a great subject, but beware, Noah's out there too. Can you imagine being in competition? The Old Testament story of the flood depicts the pitiful moral decline of civilization since God created the heavens and the earth. The creation was God's crowning glory because humans were made in God's image. But boy, they botched it up big time. You just think how much time we've had since the flood and botching things up. We've really added to it. You know, God's promise to Noah about the rainbow was called a covenant. Now, a lot of Presbyterians think we have the patent and the copyright on the word covenant, since covenant is used in a lot of our confessions of faith, and it's a good word, but it isn't really copyrighted by our denomination. But a covenant is an agreement made between two parties. Usually, a traditional agreement is certified with some wax-sealed imprint to finalize the ceremony. You know, in the old days, back in Europe during the Middle Ages, even to recent times, the monarch wore a ring, and it had the crest of the monarchy on it. And every time they passed something new, they would take hot wax and put it on the whatever the document, and the monarch, the king or queen, would seal it with that ring. You know, I think the Pope has a ring like that today. And upon the death of a Pope, they break the ring. The seal is broken forever. So they make a new ring for the new Pope. So anyway, that was quite a custom for many centuries like that. For Noah, it was the rainbow that was the signed thing, that was the agreement, the covenant there. The amazing thing about this covenant is that God's promise to Noah had no condition. God had also promised to remember us even when we forget to be obedient to Him. I still think one of the biggest human weaknesses and fallacies is our idea of being obedient to God, because most of the time we're not. We're disobedient. We think we know more than God, and that's what gets us into trouble. Because you remember when we were children growing up and we did something that was a no-no to our parents, usually there was a price to pay, usually a switching or a spanking or whatever it was. We didn't get by with it. And so I'm not saying God's going to switch us or paddle us, but at the same time, we know when we've made a boo-boo, don't we? So being obedient is something that brings a smile to God's face. But God affirmed to Noah that He would never destroy the world again with a flood. Even when it looks like it's going to wash us all away, God said, no, it's not going to happen anymore. You know, some scientists speak about melting icebergs, which may flood most of the continents eventually. They call that part of global warming. But it could happen. But what about God's promise here in Genesis? We're not going to drown in that. It's going to be by other means. So remember that. Keep that. I'm not saying the icebergs aren't going to melt, but we're not going to die from flooding. That's a sure fact. We humans still fall short of the glory of God as in the time of Noah, and our shortcomings are no different than they were during Noah's day. Shortcomings can also mean sin, too. Now, we have more ways of doing sin nowadays than they did in Noah's day. We've got computers. We've got all kinds of stuff that we can use and have, but still, basically, it's the same thing. But God won't tolerate evil today, but rather than send a catastrophic flood, if I can get it out, guess what? God came in person, called Jesus Christ, to reconcile us to himself. Think about that. Rather than sending a flood and fire and brimstone, God came in person because he knew the old way wasn't working. So keep that in mind, that God is not necessarily the God with smoke coming out of the nostrils. God loves each of us and wants us to love him back. As with the rainbow, the cross is our sign of forgiveness and a covenant of God's love. This act of reconciliation doesn't include a guilt trip. I don't know how many people have come to me through the years, and they'd come to me with something that was on their minds, and they would be so guilty. I've known some people come to me with money, cash, put it on the desk and say, hey, I just feel bad about what I did. I said, is this what you want to contribute to church, or is this a guilt offering? And they would smile. And I said, listen, God does not want us to feel guilty about anything, because God saw that through Jesus Christ. And so that happens all the time. I shared this with some people. I've had people come to me who've been divorced and they want to get remarried, but they're afraid God's going to shoot them down. God's not going to shoot you down. God loves us too much, and you don't need guilt, you know. But I'm reminded what risque screen legend Mae West said one time, and my mother's going to haunt me tonight because I mentioned Mae West in the pulpit. But anyway, Mae West said one time about guilt, for a long time I felt guilty about the way I lived. Did I reform? No, I just don't feel guilty anymore. Come up and see me sometime. Oh boy, Mom, I hope you're not listening. Incidentally, Mae West was a lifelong Presbyterian. Did you know that? So she was a good person then. We see the sign of victory through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ so that our sins are forgiven. Even with war, disease, injustice, and natural disasters, God will never abandon us. You know, that's the trouble about a lot of times we feel like we're all alone. You know, we just feel like we're forsaken. But God never abandons us. He doesn't. And you have to get that in your thick skull, that God is with us morning, noon, and night. God will walk with us every day. See, God doesn't sleep, and God's not on a wristwatch or a cell phone or anything. God is there for us. So don't think that you limit God with our human restrictions, because God is not that way at all. In reflection, there's an interesting fact about rainbows. The rainbow is never seen in the same way by different people. You know, if you live further north and there's snowfall, you get a magnifying glass and you can look at snowflakes, and every snowflake is different. So is a rainbow. But you may be looking at it, but the person standing next to you may see a different sort of observation than you do. So it's quite obvious that God creates things through our uniqueness. What about our fingerprints? Not a one of us in this sanctuary has the same fingerprints. That's why the FBI can track us down. But listen, we have something God has created. You know, God's created us in his own image, but he breaks the mold every time because none of us are alike. The billions of people who've lived on this earth and died, they've been all different. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind is too finite to think about that. How does God keep up with it? Well, God is God, and we must accept that God is a lot more versatile than we could ever be. Likewise, all this, as I said, with the covenant that God made with Noah about no more floods, whatever promises God has given, God is truthful about them. And God's promises are as unique, as I said, as the person who receives them. So you feel like God's forsaken you? God won't. God's presence is guaranteed through eternity. So don't think that if you're feeling down in the dumps that you don't feel like there's nobody around. God is there for you. So be entrusted with that idea. May we be open to receive the blessings and promises of our Lord Jesus Christ today, tomorrow, and forever. And remember, you're a better Christian today than you were yesterday because you came to church. And hopefully you'll even be a better Christian tomorrow because God is still with you. Let us pray. Lord, let us remember something, that you are not limited by human ways, human means, or even human thoughts. You are all-powerful and omnipotent. You're perfect in all ways. Thank you, God, for taking care of us. Thank you for remembering from the flood on that you will not hurt us or destroy us through water. But God, as we live life, may we always be obedient to you and serve you with gladness in our hearts. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.